all tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my feet, I'm God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. This is Friday, May 8th, 2026. 2026, man, May 8th already. This year is moving quick. We're in the process of getting Pastor Rusty Chatfield on the line for a history lesson this morning. He texted me and said, in the defense of Abraham Lincoln. That is the history lesson that he's talking about, I'm sure, possibly with the kids in his history lesson class there at the Northern Michigan Christian Academy in Burt Lake. And we will be getting him on the line as soon as possible. Technology, you love it when it works and hate it when it doesn't. So we'll see what we can do to get him connected into the show. I want to mention real quick, before we get into the history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield, I want to make sure that you're aware of the fact that Antrim County Clerk Victoria Bishop is raising money to hire an attorney for a legal fund to be able to sue Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson to stop her from implementing the rules that she has put out to the clerks for running this year's August 4th primary and the November 3rd general election, both of which she's on the ballot and will be the candidate for the Democrats for governor, while she is the acting Secretary of State. If you'd like the story, we've posted it on the Give, Send, Go donation website, along with information about being able to mail a check. If you're interested in helping, just text me, 231-360-5140. Text me, donate. And I'll send you a link to the story. You can read it over, make a decision perhaps to donate online, and or mail a check. Greatly appreciate it. One of the things you have to understand, this is a repeat, basically, motive operandi political strategy that was used in 2022 out in the state of Arizona. Katie Hobbs was the sitting Secretary of State. She ran for governor, Democrat, running against the Republican Carrie Lake. All kinds of problems on election day. Ultimately, Katie Hobbs was announced the winner. So you need to be aware of this. Understand it worked in 2022. and they're going to try to make it work again this year in Michigan. Well, somebody has got to stand up to this Secretary of State. It's going to absolutely be critical that we are able to do this, and we need your help. So again, text me at 231-360-5140. Text me, donate. And we will be able to raise the money to retain the attorney and to make sure that we stop from these rules being implemented for this year's elections. Greatly appreciate you guys and your support. We'll try to get Pastor Chatfield connected into the show here in the next segment, The Defense of Abraham Lincoln. Short break, word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north. And you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
Hi, this is Mitchell Lipton, owner of the W Tax Group. We founded our company with a mission statement, to treat our clients like family and help with your tax problems like they were our own. Call us for a free consultation. Tell us about yourself and your tax problems so we can work together to make your life better for you and your family. Again, for a free consultation, call us at 855-346-1788. That's 855-346-1788.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. This is our history lesson today. Apologize for the dead air. We had some technical difficulties getting Pastor Chatfield into the studio, but I believe we're here now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You got a history lesson, the defense of Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, I mean, okay, so somebody in my church gave me this article from a book. Actually, it's an excerpt from a book written by Judge Andrew Napolitano. He used to be, on Fox News. And he's a libertarian. And he basically starts this off. He's a couple chapters in his book. The title of the book was The Constitution in Exile. And he just rips on Abraham Lincoln, that he was such a terrible dictator, usurper of power and expansionist of federal power. And that was his whole motive and so on and so on and so forth. So many inaccuracies. And he viewed Lincoln, everything that he did, from the worst possible vantage point. Okay, so in this chapter, let me read you what he says. And I just got notes all over the place. Ridiculous, stupid, that's not true. That's only half true. Or that might be true, but you got to understand it in its context. Okay. And he says, the Abraham Lincoln of legend is an honest man who freed the slaves and saved the Union. Few things could be more misleading. In order to increase his Federalist vision of centralized power, quote, honest Abe misled the nation into an unnecessary war. It's just ridiculous. This is not true. I get frustrated. It's so ridiculous to say such a thing. Unnecessary war. Again, he claimed that the war was about emancipating the slaves. That's just wrong. Wrong. He didn't claim that. He didn't claim that. I mean, almost every sentence is wrong. Okay. First of all, did we have a civil war? Yes. Was it a war between the states? Well, you might call it that. That's what the South prefers it to be called. Or they might call it the War of Northern Aggression, which is, and a few people still hold that. And a lot of people in the South held it during the war. And I don't even blame them as much. The open constitutional question was, can a state secede from the Union? And in his first inaugural address, Abraham Lincoln says, I hold it that the Union is perpetual, that this Union that we've created is a perpetual Union. And he gives the argument in his first inaugural address that the words perpetual Union were in the Articles of Confederation. And then in the preamble of our Constitution, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect Union. How can a union that's not perpetual improve upon the union of the states, which was the perpetual union phrase, which is in the Articles of Confederation? Do you understand the logic? We became a more perfect union. The Constitution of the United States made us a stronger federal government. We have a federal government. And throughout the article, he constantly uses, hey, we were a confederation of the states, which we were not. That's what we were originally in the Articles of Confederation. But our Constitution is the Constitution of the United States of America. We are united. We became one nation. And there's so many things here that he says that it was an unnecessary war. Part of the argument here is, and I'm going to go through a lot of these point blank, okay. Part of the argument was, the biggest part, does a state have a right to leave the Union? And Lincoln said no. Napolitano says, well, he blatantly ignored the rights of the states to secede from the Union. That's what we're fighting. That's what we're arguing. Can a state leave the Union? Now, I will grant you that Thomas Jefferson thought that we could. Okay, fine. I don't think Washington thought that. And everybody knew what Lincoln thought. No, our union is perpetual. In his first inaugural address, he came out and said, look, you have slaves. I have no intentions. I have no authority. and I have no intentions in touching slavery where it already exists. He said in a letter to Horace Greeley during the war, or early part of the war, he says, my intention here is not to free the slaves. My intention is to preserve the Union. If I could do it by freeing the slaves, I would do it. If I could do it by not freeing the slaves, I would do it. And if I could, would do it by freeing some slaves and retaining others, I would do that. Now, as the war progressed, yes, it became obvious to everybody, and actually became obvious to the black slaves, that if the South won the war, slavery would go on virtually forever. I mean, there was nothing going to stop it. And by the way, that's the part of another larger argument. Napolitano argues, and he quotes a historian, he argues that, look, slavery was on the verge of dying out. That we would have taken the way of Britain and other countries, that slavery would have died if Lincoln wouldn't have brought this war upon us. And that is just so ridiculous. It's just so false. I would argue the obvious truth, slavery was more entrenched in the South in the 1850s than it was in 1800. I mean, the cotton, King Cotton, had become so dominant in the South. It was the primary economic mover in the South. Cotton was. And it was how the whole Southern economy was built upon cotton. And to have the cotton, you had to have the slaves to pick the cotton. It was so blatantly obvious, and it was entrenched. As a matter of fact, in the 1850s, you couldn't even, in the South, in some places, in a lot of places, you couldn't even preach against slavery. You couldn't even speak out against slavery. That would be considered, you know, insurrectionist to actually think that, to call slavery wrong. It would be disturbing the peace. And there were laws that were passed that you couldn't do it. And slavery was completely entrenched. The very few people in the South that believed slavery to be morally wrong, they couldn't speak out against it. And then you developed the preachers of the South, and I'm a Christian preacher, a Baptist, true. But they began to build a theology around the idea that slavery was God's punishment on black people because of the sins of Ham, spoken of in Genesis, which is ridiculous. It's not what the Bible teaches. It's a terrible interpretation of the Bible. But there's no denying that they believe that. And the whole notion that slavery would have died out and that Lincoln brought this war upon us so he could increase federal power, as if he wanted to do that. Now, I will grant you, and you got to understand the entire political context of this. Abraham Lincoln was a former Whig, as was Henry Clay. Henry Clay was the leader of the Whig Party for, we could say probably 30 years. Never elected president, maybe the most important political figure in our history, never to be elected president. But he had something called the American system. He was a unionist, and he wanted the federal government, the Union, to be strong and secure. That part is true, as did Lincoln, as did Washington. And that much is true. But then they say his motivation was just to increase federal power and to attain more power for himself in the federal government. And he was a big hypocrite when it came to the slaves. And he kind of goes in circles here. Now, let me give you a context here. In 1856, 1858, Lincoln was running for senator versus Stephen Douglas. And Douglas kept trying to say, Lincoln wants to unite the races. Lincoln thinks that black people and white people are totally equal. Lincoln wants states to do away with their laws forbidding marriage between black people and white people. Now, today, 2026, we look at that and we say, well, have I ever thought it's wrong for a black person to marry a white person? I have not ever thought that. No way. It's not what the Bible teaches. Okay. But Lincoln was forced politically to come out and say, no, I don't believe in the misogynist. There was a word, and that's not quite the word, but anyway, there's a word that they talked about, the intermingling of the races. No, I don't favor that. I'm not saying that all blacks should be given the right to vote. I'm simply saying that they are people and they have the right to life, liberty, and property like anybody else. That's all he said. I believe the Declaration of Independence. But he was kind of forced politically because he was running for Senate in Illinois, and he didn't want to get completely destroyed in the election by Southern Illinois because they were pro-slavery. He basically had to kind of hedge his bets, as do a lot of politicians a lot of the time. And it was a political debate. And he said some things, Lincoln did, that and by today's standard, yes, they're racist. But in 1858, it was progressive in 1858. Now, on the one hand, Lincoln, the abolitionists didn't like him because he didn't go far enough. And the slave owners hated him because he was talking about not wanting the extension of slavery into the territories. And that's all he ever said. Now, he did say he was morally wrong. But he also said, you know, the Constitution recognizes it. And we... there's really not much I can do about it. I don't have the inclination to do anything about it, and I don't have the constitutional authority to do anything about it. But the fact of the matter is, the South started the war, and it was they, and it's what Lincoln said, is in your hands, my dissatisfied fellow country, not in mine, is a momentous issue of civil war. You can have no war unless you bring it upon you. Lincoln promised the South in his first inaugural, I will not invade you. I will not do this. All I'm going to do is to collect the taxes, the tariffs at the borders. That's all I'm going to do. And I'm going to make sure that the mail gets delivered. Beyond that, there's not going to be any invasion. But when the South fired on Fort Sumter and started the war, and Lincoln called up volunteers to put down the rebellion, yeah, the war did come. That is the way that is. And now people are going back and they're tearing down our heroes, in this case, my hero. And he's my hero. And so you don't know what you're talking about. And you're not putting yourself in the context of the day. And I think there's an application for today, and you'll see it at the end. Okay. Now, so the South fires on Fort Sumter, and the war starts. The war starts. And now you've got seven states have had already seceded of the Deep South from the Union. And after the Union was fired upon, what response do you suppose that any president would have? I've got to protect American assets. I've got to see that the laws are faithfully executed. And so, and this is a rebellion. Okay, hear the music. I'll take up on more of the specifics after the other side.
Sounds good. Perfect spot for a break. Bottom of the hour news, hour number two. We'll be right back.